Welcome to the third part of this four-part story, The White City, written by Patrick Neat and read by me, Brian Blessed. Philippe told Louis what he was thinking the very next up. Although he knew the dude was hardly trustable, he justified it to himself like this. If the White City smooths were going to work Electric Mountain, then he had to check Louis was cool with it. But the truth was that he started jabbering, mostly because he wanted to tell someone. And who else was there? Philippe was cagey at first. He sent the cycle stash of grub, more meagre than ever, down with Chinky and told her to start on supper. Then he just hung around while Louis loaded the three-wheeler. Briefly, he thought he heard a sharp wailing sound, followed by some curious snufflings coming from the trailer behind. He said, "What's that?" A negro turned round sharpish.
"You still here?"
"I thought you might have a cig for me," Philippe said. While they puffed, Philippe slowly started to pump the dude for info. "So what's the scavengings from Electric Mountain?"
"I don't know," Louis shrugged. "Just what ogres want, I guess."
The king pointed down over the valley to the mountain beyond. "More than they want our pretty white skyscrapers. But baby Lonnie's stuff is just junk."
"One dude's junk is another dude's supper, Majesty. You know that."
"Sure," the king nodded. "So let me ask you, the ogres dump the skyscrapers here, we pull them apart for grub, then you take them back to the ogres who give you grub. That how it works?"
"Something like that."
"But that don't make sense."
"How it has always been," Louis said.
Philippe sucked on his cig, all thoughtful for a tick. "So what if it was the White City Smooths working Electric Mountain? That bother you?"
"None of my business. Why, you going to cut a deal with baby Lonnie?"
Philippe peered at Louis through the darkness, trying to make out his expression. "I don't think Lonnie going to cut no deal with me," he said slowly. "Last time I try and speak to him, his dudes threw stones at me." He paused. "But I got a deal with Lonnie, don't I?"
He heard Negro snort and caught a glimpse of his shining white teeth. "Not for me to say, Majesty," Louis chuckled. "I'm what the ogres called a marketeer. That means I only look out for number one, just like baby Lonnie. But you a king, so you gotta take king's decisions." He stood up and stretched, the glowing cherry of his cig still hanging from his lower lip. "I tell you two things, though. First, I might be a marketeer myself, but I like law and order, and I'm no fan of Lonnie. So you take control of Electric Mountain, and it's not going to burst my tires. Second, I reckon you'd best do something, because the ogres don't want none of the White City's stuff no more, and you'll soon be hungrified to death."
"Right," Philippe nodded. "I guess you're right." But he still hadn't figured exactly what he was going to do. He wandered back down to the White City cooking fire, where Coco had saved him a bite. He was so starvacious that the smell of the grub almost made him puke, but he wolfed it down nonetheless, even though it gave him bellyache. He was hugging his own guts and rocking backwards and forwards by the fire when he heard the commotion from the edge of the city. It was Anise who came running, and her expression was excited and terrified all at once. "He gotta see this, Majesty," she said. Philippe followed her all the way to the edge of the valley, where the gravel began its steep climb to the tarmac. There, Chinky was sitting with a little parcel on her lap. It was wailing. Philippe peered closer and saw the snivelling little creature bundled in a blanket.
"A squealer?"
Chinky was smiling.
"That's right. Not even a snotty nose," Philippe murmured. "A squealer? We can't look after that. We can't even look after ourselves."
He made up his mind there and then. Philippe told Anise to take the infant and pulled Chinky to one side. "Here's what we're going to do," he said, and his voice was all calm authority. "We're going to take Electric Mountain." They called a meeting straight away, and Philippe told the White City Smooths his plan, if you could call it a plan. They were all to arm themselves with a solid piece of piping and as many stones as they could carry, and then they'd surround Electric Mountain. Philippe was going to talk to Lonnie, tell him he had to share those scavengings, and they'd all be set, the citizens and the Electric Mountain Smooths together again by the very next up. Coco asked,
What if Baby Lonnie don't agree?
Philippe hadn't really considered such an eventuality, but he didn't let it show.
Then we take them down, he said. I take Lonnie, you take Randa, Mohammed takes Solly, and Chinky takes Junior. Everybody else goes straight for whoever's closest. It shouldn't be hard. Besides, with those four seniors down, the rest will soon give up.
Some of the Smooths had their doubts, but they weren't going to air them, not in front of the king.
Chinky did say, "What about Squealer?"
But Philippe answered quickly,
"We leave it here. This won't be a scenario for no Squealer."
They surrounded Electric Mountain easily enough.
Philippe was confident. He did some swift sums.
They must have outnumbered Baby Lonnie's dudes at least 3-1, not including the snotty noses neither. On the spur of the moment, he began to bang the stone in his right hand against the pipe in his left. The others quickly caught on to his train of thought, and his rhythm too, and they started to do the same. It made quite a racket, like war drums. At the top of Electric Mountain, Philippe began to see Smooths emerging from amidst the tangles of wiring, plugs and circuits, peering down through the darkness at the invaders. Then he spotted Baby Lonnie himself, standing tall, about a third from the summit. Philippe held up his hand, and the drumming stopped abruptly.
"Lonnie," the king called, "I came to a conclusion. I decided we're going to pardon you, and in exchange we're all going to work Electric Mountain together. I know there's enough grub for everybody up there."
"That what you decided, Majesty?"
Baby Lonnie shouted back. The way he said Majesty made it sound like the dirtiest curse you ever heard.
"What happened?" Philippe tried again. "We were best buds once. We should be side by side again, for everyone's sake. I don't want to force you, but..."
Philippe got no further, because at that moment a hefty stone spat in the dust right by his feet, then another. In the blackness of the oop, he didn't even see them coming until they peppered the ground around him. He protested,
"Don't stop it!"
And for an instant he cowered behind his hands. Glancing to left and right, he saw the White City Smooths all backing off a pace or two. Then they started beating their stones against their pipes again, and the sound rang out around the valley. Momentarily, Philippe felt a pulse of excitement and terror surge through him, and his fist closed around the small pebble in his right hand. He looked upwards, and he could just make out Baby Lonnie's figure above him, doubled up, laughing. Philippe was almost blinded with adrenaline, but when he set himself and launched the pebble as hard as he could, it flew straight and true and smacked Lonnie on the cheek. Somehow, it was as if the sound of the impact drowned out the rest of the hubbub, because as Lonnie fell, there was suddenly a shocked silence, and everybody's eyes were wide and horrified and on Philippe. Then the sound of Lonnie's bawling tore the atmosphere, and the king felt a calm-like sickness wash over him. As a consequence, Philippe reacted slow to Chinky's yell of warning, "Majesty!" And he looked up just in time to see Randa, no more than spitting distance away, an expression of visceral fury on his face. Then it hit. And this was no stone, but more like a rock that caught him flush on the forehead and lifted him right off his feet. Even as Philippe fell, time seemed to compress. And when he heard the screaming and shouting, he could distinguish every voice. Venus piercing shriek, Coco howling, "Get the fire!" and Chinky close by saying, the squealer," over and over. Briefly, calmly, he hoped that she would be the White City's next queen. Then he felt the blood stinging his eyes, and all sounds and light receded, and there was nothing but darkness.